Let's pray before we sit. Christ is alive. Let Christians sing. God, would you speak to us through your word? Help us to understand the resurrection of Christ and what it means for us. God, help me to preach well, to speak well. May you give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have to say. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, here we are, Easter Sunday. We celebrate one who was nailed to a cross, died a death we deserve to die, and the claim is he rose bodily from the grave. I wonder, do you really believe it? Do you really believe a man died and came back from the dead in bodily form? Of course, this is Easter, celebrated to the hilt in the United States. Churches are packed today. Great music. Thank you, Stephen. Choir and brass. Beautiful flowers, family time, Easter baskets. Of course, that's Easter, isn't it? But if we filter out all the music and the fun and the family dinners and the Easter egg hunts, the family fun days, what's left? Do we really believe that Jesus is alive? Do you believe it? My guess is that there are churches across North America packed with people who don't believe it. They love the music, sincere people, great, nice, but they come into church and they really don't believe that Jesus is alive. And you know what? They're in good company. They're in really good company. Because in the Gospel of Mark today, we learn that there were skeptics back then too. Even Jesus' closest friends didn't believe, after they had watched him nailed to a cross, that he could rise from the dead. The question is, why is it so hard to believe? Why is it so hard to believe? Open up your bulletin, if you will, or if you have a Bible in front of you, take a look at Mark chapter 16. Why is it hard to believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Look at verse 9 through 11. It says this. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive, and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. You see, I think the first reason why people don't believe is because of the kind of people that do. Right? I mean, let's be honest. Have you ever met a deranged, demon-possessed person? I mean, been crazy once, maybe they're crazy again. I'm not sure how much she had in common with Orthodox Jewish fishermen or tax collectors. And of course, she was a woman. She goes to the disciples and says, I've seen Christ, and they don't believe her. Can you blame them? Someone comes to you from a lower social status, who doesn't look like you, doesn't act like you, doesn't have the same social manners that you have, and tries to tell you something remarkable, you're probably going to scoff and sneer. I got to tell you, why is it, Jesus, that most of the people, myself included, who claim to believe in you, are kind of wacky? I mean, I have to say I cringe every time an NBC or ABC or CBS or Fox Newsman sticks a mic in front of a Christian and wants to interview him. I just kind of cringe. They happen to pick the wackiest people. I'm like, oh no, not that one. Please don't interview that one. And of course they say something totally stupid, which makes all Christians look like idiots, right? I mean, I'm glad, I guess, that there are Christians making movies. And I know some of them are good, and if you like Christian movies, bless you. But I filter Christian movies through some of my friends and non-believing friends, and I think, I would never bring them to a movie made by Christians. The Christians look like idiots. It's not real life. It all works out in a nice bow and all problems are solved. It seems like they stick their heads in the sand. I'm like, come on, really? Are we really that wacky? I'll never forget being in youth ministry and saying, Lord, I got to tell you, if the captain of the lacrosse team or the most popular girl, if she was to come to Christ, people in the school might listen. Why is it folks like me, social misfits who weren't in the cool group who believe, and everyone looks at us and says, what a bunch of weirdos. You see, I think a lot of the reason why people don't believe is because a lot of people who do can be kind of weird. They may be sincere, but many people can't relate to them. If I was hired by a PR consultant to give Jesus kind of, you know, a plan for letting people know he's alive, I'd say, first of all, hey, look, I know you love Mary. Don't pick her. Really, don't pick her. Let's go with Herod or Pilate or even Nicodemus. He was a well-respected dude. When he speaks, people will listen. She was wacky. She had demons in her. Don't pick her. No one will believe it. But you know what? We learn something from this. Jesus is actually willing to associate with the least and the lost and the unlikely and unlikable to proclaim the message. So let me just ask you for a minute. If you're not sure if you believe in the resurrection, do you have any wacky Christians in your life? Could they actually be a gift? God's not calling you to act like them, necessarily, or have your lifestyle look like theirs. But more often than not, he who took on flesh and became a servant sends unlikely people to say, hey, do you know that God loves you and Christ is alive? Be careful of dismissing unlikely messengers. Also, if you're a believer and you don't have it all together, things aren't going right, your life doesn't always practice, you don't practice what you preach, but you do believe in the resurrection, you may be closer to Christ than you think. And he may still tap you on the shoulder and say, I know you're kind of a mess, but would you just go and love and serve this couple or this family or these folks? Also, let me just say, if you want to share Christ with someone and you do it in a kind of a natural way that's not weird and they don't believe it, two things. Maybe you are weird. Maybe it's time to take off the glasses and go, you know what? I'm just weird. I mean, I have to wear a collar around. People look at me. I've now come to the realization I really am weird. But don't lose heart. They didn't believe Mary Magdalene either. Don't lose heart. So first, people I think in our culture don't believe because of some of the people who claim they do. But a second reason why people don't believe is in verse 12. Take a look at it there. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. This is a reference to Luke 24. Bear with me here. Two of the disciples left town. Jesus is dead. What do we do now? They're going home. 7 miles. Long walk. Jesus comes up next to them, but they don't recognize him. Jesus says, hey, what's going on? Don't you know? Are you the only one around here who hasn't heard? Tell us, or tell me, Jesus says. And they said, the things about Jesus. And then Jesus says, well, don't you believe it? And then the text says, he spent the 7 miles opening up scripture and giving them a context for why the Messiah had to die on a cross and rise from the dead. See, the second reason why people don't believe is they have no context. Jesus died on a cross? He rose for the dead? What does it mean? I'm constantly around here saying, look, you need to get into a Bible study. You need to find a place where you can ask questions and be real and express your doubts and let someone bring to life the content and context of the gospel. You know, they had 7 miles to walk. That's a long time to ask questions and dialogue with Jesus. It wasn't till the end that actually their eyes were open and they finally saw it. Many of you know our good friend Wheezy Andrews. Wheezy was a lifelong churchgoer. She'd been to church, she'd heard it all. But it wasn't until someone invited her here in Baltimore to a Bible study where she felt the freedom to ask. And she had leaders who were able to answer her questions. And it took an entire year. And by the end of that Bible study, She'll say, my eyes were opened. I was a churchgoer, but I didn't understand the context, and no one gave me permission to ask questions. And she came to faith in the risen Christ. I wonder, do you not believe because you've got serious doubts? How can we trust the Bible? How do we know whether it's true? Perhaps it's time to take a season to say, I'm going to figure this out. You never know that Christ, the risen Christ, might meet you along the way. A third reason for not believing in Christ is found in verse 14. Let me read it for you. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. On a side note, we're told in other Gospels, the first thing he says is, peace be with you, because they were a little scared. And then Mark picks up and gets right to the point. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their hardness of heart and refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had been risen. Do you get what's going on here? Jesus calls them knuckleheads. Knuckleheads. That's a great Greek translation of hard heart. I made that up. Just kidding. He says, look, I fully expect people to believe it when they hear it. The problem isn't with your eyes. The problem is with your heart. You're hard-hearted. People don't believe in Christ because their hearts have become hard. Why do hearts become hard? For the disciples, they were disappointed. They put all their expectations in this Messiah, and then he's hanging on a cross. He didn't meet their immediate expectations. I have to be honest with you, as a pastor, I meet people like this all the time. They've been praying for a job for years. God hasn't provided, they get hard-hearted. They've been praying for a sick loved one for years. God hasn't provided, and they get hard-hearted. They've been praying for their marriage, for their kids. They've been asking for an open door. They're sincere. Unmet expectations can lead to hard-heartedness. What else leads to hard-heartedness? Seeing the evil and suffering in our world can lead to hard-heartedness. Constant thinking and believing lies that you don't matter to God because of past sins or mistakes you have made can lead to hard-heartedness. I know many people who carry around incredible guilt for real mistakes, and their hearts have become hardened to love and forgiveness. I love how C.S. Lewis put it in the Chronicles of Narnia. Prince Caspian, the four children are following Aslan, the Christ figure. And one by one, in proportion to their faith, they start to see him. Susan is the biggest skeptic. She didn't want to follow him. She couldn't see it. She had demanded that they don't go because it's not true. But slowly, as she was dragged along, she starts to see him. She sidles up to her sister Lucy and says, Lucy, what am I going to say when we actually talk to him? I'm so embarrassed. I didn't believe. Lucy tries to comfort her. And then Susan says this. Actually, it's been far worse. I really did believe in him deep down if I had let myself. But I just couldn't face him. And I didn't want to deal with him. C.S. Lewis is saying there are people who have hard hearts. Deep down, they long for the kind of love and grace and relationship with God that they were made for. But because of the circumstances of the world or their present circumstances, their hearts have become calloused and hard. Now, the application to this is really actually encouraging because Jesus says it's actually possible to believe without seeing. But it starts with seeing and opening our hearts to the possibility. I was reminded after the sunrise service, someone came to me and said, you know, it's a two-way street. You can invite people to ask God to soften their heart and break through, but people have to choose to allow God's love to transform their hearts and minds. Let me ask you, do you believe in Christ? That he's alive, he loves you more than you could ever know. He took hell for you. so you can be reconciled to God? If not, is it because you've been burned by Christians and you're afraid God might make you like that? Take heart. He's got a plan for you more wonderful than you could ever think or hope or imagine. Is it because you just never asked the questions? You've never been in a place to be taught and learned? Would you find a church or a Bible study or some people you can trust and ask questions, and maybe Christ will meet you along the way? Or is it simply you've got a hard heart? Deep inside, you know you're cold. Maybe it's time to turn your palms over in your heart to say, Lord, open my heart, soften my heart. Despite my circumstances, would you come in, help me to believe in you, and give me eyes to see? This Easter, as sincerely as I can, I want to tell you, I believe Christ is alive. And he loves us. And he longs to be in a relationship, not what just generally with the world, but with you. He says, I'll lead you out of where you are. I'll gift you. I'll encourage you. I'll give you a joy you've never experienced. And one day, if you trust me, I'll bring you to an eternal heavenly kingdom where there'll be no more crying or pain or fear or regret. What do you say? Will you trust me and believe? Will you trust him and believe? Amen.
Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son,